It's the dictionary.
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 Hello, word nerds. I see you out there. You can hear me. Maybe you see me, but I can totally see you right now. I am watching you. That's not ethical. Let's talk about the words. Ethical is going to be in this episode. The first word in this episode is Ethernet. Capital E-T-H-E-R-N-E-T. Noun from 1976. Did you know it was that old? This is a computer network architecture consisting of various specified local area network protocols, devices, and connection methods. Whoa, so much involved to that. The architecture, the servers and the cables and the ports and all those other things that I don't know about. Various specified local area network protocols that's shortened to LAN. People have LAN parties. I don't know if this is still a thing that happens back in the day. In the earlier days of internet and Ethernet, people would bring their computers to one room if they weren't already there, and they would hook them up all to the same network so they could play games against each other. I mean, now you can play games on the internet against people all over the world. Wow, it's really changed. Connection methods, devices, all those things that are included in the Ethernet. Ethernet is a trademark. That's where this word comes from. Now, how this is different than the internet. Inter and ether, is it Ethernet? Did they come up with this name because it's the network stuff is going into the ether, into the space, into the world? The solar system, the universe, is that where the name comes from? This trademark? I might have to look into that. Okay, fascinating. Let's see, do I need to do an Ethernet-related sound effect? That's like all of your data being sent through the ethers on the net. The next word is ethic. Noun from the 14th century. Number one, it says plural but singular or a plural in construction. This is the discipline dealing with what is good and bad and with moral duty and obligation. I mean, this is what it's all about right now, right? What's good? What's bad? We think we know what's good and bad, but, you know, I love to go to the example of a lot of quote-unquote villains in stories are the heroes in their own story. Thanos is the perfect example where he was like, I'm trying to do something good and you're trying to stop me. And yes, okay, I guess murdering 50% of living things in the universe to some people could be considered villainous, but I'm looking at the bigger picture of the resources, and we have too many people. It's a great metaphor for the earth, just the earth. And so, you know, what's good, what's bad? It's kind of a gray area sometimes. Sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes. And then, of course, what is your moral duty or obligation? Do you do something, say something? If you see something that's maybe bad, what do you do? What do you do? What do you do? 2A is a set of moral principles. Also, a theory or system of moral values, as in the present-day materialistic ethic. That's one example. The present-day materialistic ethic, it's a set of moral principles about being materialistic. I personally don't like to be materialistic. I'm a little materialistic. Or a theory or system of moral values. So I guess in this example, materialistic ethic is, you just feel like your values, you value material things. What is this other example? An old-fashioned work ethic. An old-fashioned work ethic. What's old-fashioned? work has changed a lot over the years. I feel like those young kids, right? Those young kids, they don't have as good of a work ethic as us older kids. Doing a good job, doing it in a timely manner, not wasting time. I don't know. Those are all probably aspects of a good old-fashioned work ethic. Har, har. Okay, this 2A is often used in plural, but singular or plural in construction, as in an elaborate ethics, also Christian ethics. So you can use it with the S or without the S. 2B is plural, but singular or plural in construction. This is the principles of conduct governing an individual or a group, as in professional ethics. If you're working in a place, there's a whole group of people there, and you got to be professional. Principles of conduct governing an individual or a group. Be professional. Be respectful. We could go so far down this rabbit hole, but we don't need to do that right now. We're just talking about ethics. 2C is a guiding philosophy. So any philosophy that you have about your life, other people's life, how you think life should be lived, whatever that is, something that guides you on your path, something that, based on this philosophy, you choose based on how you think about this philosophy, this ethic, these ethics, that's what that is. Your own personal ethics. Dexter had some ethics. He had a code. He was a very complicated figure because he was murdering, but he was murdering bad people who had also murdered. So it's a very odd ethical story. 2D is a consciousness of moral importance, as in forge a conservation ethic. You want to conserve things. A consciousness of moral importance. Yeah, it's different for everybody. Yeah, everybody's different. But overall, the morals are the same. You know, it's a religious thing, but the Ten Commandments, there's some pretty good stuff in there. Just saying. Number 3 is plural, and this is a set of moral issues or aspects like rightness. That's different. Rightness. A set of moral issues or aspects as rightness. As in, debated the ethics of human cloning. What are the ethics? What are the moral ethics about human cloning? Wow, ooh, there's a lot there. Well, it's like, do you're creating a human that didn't ask to be created, but that's also exactly what having a baby is anyway. You just happen to be having the exact same genes when you're cloned than the person you are being cloned from. We also don't need so many people. We already have too many people. I think these are just barely touching the surface of the ethics that they think about when they're talking about human cloning. Just because they could, they never stop to think about whether or not they should. Oh, ethics. Okay, let's look at the etymology. It's from Middle English, Middle French, Latin, Greek, ithiki, which is from ethikos or ethikos. And so I guess that's just all about ethics. It hasn't really changed much through the languages. What was my sound effect? Because next we got ethical. Also just ethic again. It's an adjective, so if you're describing something as either ethic or ethical, that's fine. It's from 1588. Number 1, of or relating to ethics, as in ethical theories. Ethical theories are theories about ethics. 2, involving or expressing moral approval or disapproval, as in ethical judgments. Yeah, you are definitely being judgy when you got ethical judgments involving or expressing moral approval or disapproval. You're approving of something morally, or you're disapproving of it, and you are making a judgment, an ethical judgment. 3, conforming to accepted standards of conduct, as in ethical behavior. What are the accepted standards of conduct? How do you conduct yourself in public? And who's to say if that is ethical behavior or not? I mean, I don't know. I think that putting the word ethical in there sort of takes it into another direction. You know, if you're standing outside in the public place and you stab somebody, then that's probably not ethical behavior. But if you're just standing there and you're doing a little dance on the corner, then, you know, that might still be ethical, but that might not be considered accepted standards of conduct. People aren't usually dancing. Now, I think that's ridiculous. I think you should be allowed to dance on the street corner. Stabbing somebody, though, I don't think about that one. I don't like that one. Ethical behavior. Number 4 is talking about a drug, and this is restricted to sale only on a doctor's prescription. Restricted to sale. So you can only get this drug if the doctor has prescribed it. And so that's called ethical. It's ethical if it's. I don't really know the context exactly of this one. Anyway, a synonym for the whole thing is moral. M-O-R-A-L. Ethicality is a noun. Ethically is an adverb, and ethicalness is a noun. How much ethicalness do you have? I'd like to think I have a lot of ethicalness. It's not something that I think about all the time, but you've heard me say I like to just be kind and loving and compassionate and empathetic and be ethical. Yeah. Okay, what else? I think we said all that stuff. We have a little bit more etymology. This is from the Greek, ethikos, which we saw in the previous word, but also from ethos, which means character. And there's more at the word sib, but character. So if you have good character, you have good ethics, what's your character like, your personality traits? Do they show good character, show good ethics? I guess that's the connection. Okay. Next is ethician. Ethician. Noun from 1629. The synonym is ethicist, which is our next word. Ethicist. Noun from circa 1890. So 261 years later. This is a specialist in ethics. Somebody who's studying it, teaching it, in that show, The Good Place. The Good Place. I have a Good Place shirt. I should have worn it. There's a lot of talk about ethics and being good and bad. I mean, that's what the whole show is about. If you haven't seen the show, go watch it. So yeah, they talk about ethics a lot and being moral and all that stuff. Really, it's a good thinking show, but it's also very like light and humorous, but it deals with some deep, deep, big topics. Ethicist. Okay, well, we're done with those words. Anything else we want to say about ethics, ethical? I don't know. Next is ethidium bromide. 2 words, ethidium bromide. Noun from circa 1959. This is a fluorescent mutagenic biological dye, DYE, C21H20BRN3, that is used especially to stain nucleic acids. And, I'm not doing no staining of nucleic acid, so I have definitely never used this stuff. Next is, you can pronounce it either ethinyl or ethanyl. Ethanyl. Yep. Ethanol or ethanyl. You can spell it E-T-H-I-N-Y-L, or you can replace the I with a Y. Noun from 1929. This is a monovalent unsaturated radical HC and then triple bonded to another C. And it is derived from acetylene by removal of one hydrogen atom. That's all I got for that one. Next is, I guess you pronounce the first word the same way, ethinyl or ethanyl, estradiol. That's the second word, estradiol. Noun from 1939, a very potent synthetic estrogen C20H24O2 used especially as an oral contraceptive. Is this just the birth control pill? Is this the scientific name for the birth control pill? Ethinyl estradiol, it's synthetic estrogen. Yeah, I think that's what it is. And you take it as a pill, oral, put it in your mouth, swallow it, take it every day for the rest of the time that you want to take it. Next is ethion. Ethion. E-T-H-I-O-N. Noun from circa 1960. This is a toxic organophosphate C9H22O4P2S4 used as an insecticide and acaricide. Acaricide? I don't remember what that is. Let's do a quick look back to see if we can find it fast. We're getting close. Wow, we're back in page 14, 12. Wow, this goes way back to 2019. That's when these episodes aired. Let's see. Okay, let's find acaricide. Acarid. Acaricide. Oh, mites. Mites and ticks. Yep, that's good because they are acarids. Mites and ticks are acarids. Okay, so this ethion is used to kill them. Okay. Next is ethionamide. Ethionamide. There we go. Noun from 1960, a compound C8H10N2S used against mycobacteria, and examples of those would be tuberculosis and leprosy. So mycobacteria, that makes me think that it's related to fungus, possibly. Myco, isn't that like a fungus related? And so maybe you get these from funguses? I don't know. But ethionamide is used against tuberculosis and leprosy. Okay, that's very helpful. We do need to not be infected by those things. Next is ethionine. Ethionine. It's spelled ethionine. E-T-H-I-O-N-I-N-E. Ethionine, noun from 1938, an amino acid C6H13NO2S that is the ethyl homologue of methionine and is biologically antagonistic to methionine. And that's methionine with an M at the beginning, which is the same word as this word, just with the M, and I don't know how it changes the definition or the meaning, but it's a more chemically related things. Next is Ethiop or Ethiope. You can spell it capital E-T-H-I-O-P. That would be the Ethiop. Or you can put an E at the end, and that would be Ethiope. Ethiope, yeah. Noun from the 13th century, and it is archaic. The synonym is Ethiopian. We don't call people from Ethiopia Ethiopes or Ethiops anymore. We call them Ethiopian. But, you know, they have their own language, though, so they're probably using a whole different word. From Greek? Ethiops? The Ethiop word is from Ethiop, the Greek word? Seems kind of odd that it would come from Greek, but okay. Okay. Next is Ethiopian with a capital E. First form, noun from the 13th century. Number one, a member of any of the... Okay, well, this is definitely taking it... This is different than what I would have thought. So this is a member of any of the mythical or actual peoples usually described by the ancient Greeks as dark-skinned and living far to the south. Okay, well, so the Greeks were aware that there were people who lived to the south of them that had very dark skin. They are actual people, I guess, because the Greeks loved their mythology, that they also were like, well, hey, maybe we can create these mythological people also called Ethiopian who also have dark skin, who also live south of us. Let's make them fictional. I don't know about that. Okay, well, number two is archaic, and it's just a black person. That's what it says. An Ethiopian is a black person, based on what the Greeks had to say, I guess. And it is archaic. Well, okay, number three is... Maybe this one should have been first. Possibly, maybe. A native or inhabitant of Ethiopia. Yeah, that's what they are. These other ones should have been pushed back a little bit, I think. So this one, this doesn't have additional etymology, so we have to go back to the previous word, the Greek word Ethiops. It doesn't say what that means, though. It could be a black person, it could be a mythological person, according to the Greeks. I don't know what their Greek word, I don't know what it is. I don't know, it doesn't tell me. So yeah. And again, it seems like this is from the Greek. They've been named after a Greek word. Maybe they should be named after a word in their own language, in their own country. That's just my two cents. Next is the second form of Ethiopian. Adjective from 1557. One, of, relating to, or characteristic of the inhabitants or the country of Ethiopia. Two, of, relating to, or being the biogeographic region that includes Africa south of the Sahara, southern Arabia, and sometimes Madagascar and the adjacent islands. That feels like that's a pretty good chunk of the continent of Africa. South of the Sahara, I feel like the Sahara goes across the top portion, pretty far near the top. Southern Arabia, and sometimes, I mean, anything south of the Sahara, that's like two-thirds of the country. So this is a region that's called Ethiopia or Ethiopian relating to that region, but there's also a country that's Ethiopia. It's very complicated. That's it for that. I have to mention, if you've never eaten Ethiopian food, please, please, please go eat some Ethiopian food. In Chicago, we probably have 127 different Ethiopian restaurants, and I think they're all on Broadway. They're all in this little area. Of course, I'm exaggerating, but there are a lot, and there are a lot on Broadway. Broadway! I love the food, and it's very veggie and vegan-friendly, and... It's so flavorful. It's similar to Indian food in that way. So, you know, it's maybe some new flavors that you might not be used to if you've never had those foods. It's very different from Indian food. They're just sort of related, you know, it's not like burgers and fries. But you get the food on this big old platter that has this spongy, almost sour bread called injera. And you use the bread. You can rip off pieces from the platter that it's on, or they'll also give you more in a basket. And you rip off a piece of it, however big or small that you want, and you scoop up a bit of the food because it comes in these plops all over the platter. Oh, it's so good. I want some Ethiopian food right now. There's like cabbage things and potato things. And of course, there's meat dishes, but I don't ever get those. And they just are so flavorful and tasty. And try not to overdo it on the injera because it's, you know, it's this bready stuff. So it's going to expand and make you full. So I'd say minimize the injera as much as possible. But, you know, use it to scoop it up. And then your fingers get all funky and it's good stuff. Good times. You eat with your hand. You don't have to. You can get a fork and spoon, I guess, if you want. But where's the fun in that? You're encouraged to eat with your hands. We don't get enough of that. Okay, we have one more word for this episode. It's the word Ethiopic or Ethiopic. Capital E-T-H-I-O-P-I-C. First form, the second is in the next episode. Ethiopic, adjective from 1631. Number one, the synonym is Ethiopian. Number 2A, of, relating to, or constituting, Ethiopic, which I guess is the word in the next one. 2B, of, relating to, or constituting, a group of related Semitic languages spoken in Ethiopia. And I feel like I gotta put a link in the show notes for Ethiopia, Ethiopian, all these words, because what language or languages do they speak? What do they call themselves? Why are we still using this word that's based in Greek? Don't they have a name for themselves? I don't know. Okay, I gotta pick a word of the episode. Today we had Ethernet, ethic, ethical, ethician, ethicist, ethidium bromide, ethinyl estradiol, ethion, ethionamide, ethionine, Ethiop or Ethiope, Ethiopian, Ethiopian, and Ethiopic or Ethiopic. I mean, as much as I love Ethiopian food, I do think I have to pick ethical as the word of the episode because I just want everybody to be ethical. Yeah. That's it. Short, sweet, simple song. That's all we need. And now, I would very much like to tell you about another movie that I watched. What did I watch? What did Spencer watch? Let's see. I watched Strays. I was on a plane looking for something to watch, and I had seen the trailers for this, and it's a very rated R movie with CGI dogs that are trying to go on a mission, and very much not for kids. And I just thought, oh, that looks silly and fun. I'll watch it. And yes, it was silly and fun. And I don't know if they used 100% CGI dogs or if some shots were real. But, I mean, I think the majority was CGI. And it's really good. I mean, the technology has come a very, very long way. It's quite, quite good. Okay. That's the end of the episode. Thank you very much for checking out this show, audio platforms, podcasts, and also YouTube. Please watch it on YouTube and go ahead and subscribe to me and just watch all of my videos so I can get all those numbers because I like numbers. This has been Spencer Dispensing Information. Goodbye.